Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everybody. This is Evangelist August Rizal with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. I want to welcome you to our radio program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. It is good to have you with us on the show today. And, of course, we are excited because you know that at the end of every month, we have a guest prophecy teacher on the show. And, of course, today we have Dr. Damon Duck, who will be on the show, and him and I will be talking about current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And so we are going to get to him in a moment. And then, of course, if you have a prophecy question for Damon Duck, the toll-free number is 877-659-8944. Now, remember, all phone calls that come into the show are recorded for record purposes. And so we've had some issues in the past. And, of course, hopefully we don't have any issues today with any of the callers. And, again, all phone numbers are recorded and stored in our database just in case we have any issues. And so before we get to Damon Duck, this show today is not the last show, so don't get nervous now, but we will be off the air for 2 weeks because we'll be leaving for Israel this upcoming Wednesday. My wife and I will be leading a 11-day Bible prophecy tour to the Holy Land. And even though we're going to be leaving this Wednesday, February the 25th, you still have an opportunity to join us on this Bible prophecy tour of a lifetime. And so I hope and pray that you decide to join us. We have a couple of seats left on this Bible prophecy tour to Israel. So if you would like to join us on this Bible prophecy tour of the Holy Land, call our tour operator, Christian Tours to Israel, toll-free, 1-888-300-3038. Talk to Eyal Evan. Let him know that you want to join us and get those last couple of seats on this Bible prophecy tour to Israel with the option to Petra. And so I hope and pray that you would join us for that Bible prophecy tour of the Holy Land. And I am coming to you live from Century, Florida, where tomorrow morning I will be preaching at Tabernacle Baptist Church. So if you live in Century, Florida, or just over the border in Alabama, come on over and join us as we look at prophetic world events in light of biblical prophecy. What I'm going to do right now is go to Dr. Damon Duck, and then for those of you who are calling into the show, we'll get to you as soon as possible. So let me see, I make sure I got the right number over here. Damon Duck, are you on the air? Hello, Damon? Okay. No, I'm getting in here. Let me see if I get Damon over here. Damon, are you there?
I am, yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Actually, there's a couple of numbers up on the screen here, and so I wasn't sure which one was you. But, Damon, welcome to our program today in Bible Prophecy Radio.
Well, it's an honor to be with you, August.
Well, Damon, we really appreciate you taking, time out of your busy schedule to join us on our program. This is the first time, I believe, I've had you on the show. And so I really appreciate you coming on and giving us, Damon, your insight as to what is going on in Israel, the Middle East, and around the world. And as we believe, it's setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And so thank you again for joining us, Damon. And by the way, folks, Damon came to see me preach when I was in Tennessee last Sunday. He came out, and I was really humbled to have someone like him come out to hear a little itty old prophecy preacher like myself speak on current world events. So that really meant the world for me to have Damon Duck come to see me preach at the Emmanuel Baptist Church. So, Damon, again, thank you so much for coming out to see us and really enjoy the fellowship with you and your wife. So what I'm going to do right now, Damon, is I just want to get to some current events that are going on right now. And for those of you who don't know Damon Duck, he is a Bible prophecy teacher, and he is also the author of a book called God Has Spoken and We Can Know It. I read that book. It's an excellent book, and I would recommend that you go to his website and order his book. And his website, his name, DamonDuck.com, www.DamonDuck.com. And, Damon, what I want to talk to you about right now is President Obama does not seem to be worried about a nuclear Iran. And he is dealing with this rogue nation as if they were some type of peaceful democracy. And I just read a report from the Israel National News that Arab nations said that they were deeply worried about a nuclear Iran. We're talking about Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates. I mean, they're all joining Israel in conveying concerns to the United States over, you know, Iran getting nuclear weapons. So if these Arab nations join Israel's concern, that's a rarity. What in the world is Obama thinking? And by the way, David, do we see Iran in Bible prophecy?
Well, yes, we do, August. We see Iran primarily in the Battle of Gog and Magog in the latter days and the latter years. Of course, Iran is in prophecy in a lot of other places also. But Russia and Iran and others will attack Israel in the latter days and latter years. And in mid-January of this year, Iran announced that it's building and operating factories in Syria to produce rockets and missiles for an attack on Israel. Suppose they get nuclear missiles or nuclear warheads, they could reach Israel. They have warheads that would reach, missiles that would reach Europe. And so they're beginning to move into Syria. They are trying to develop a nuclear bomb. They say if they can develop it, they would use it on Israel. They call Israel a one-bomb state. Israel is small, and they believe that all they need is one nuclear bomb to destroy Israel. And there's been conflict, cross-border conflict, recently between Syria and Israel, and we find out that Iran has moved Revolutionary Guard troops in there and has an Iranian general commanding some of the troops that's in there and commanding Hezbollah and Syrian troops, and it's a very, very dangerous situation. Israel has told the United Nations a couple of times. Prime Minister Netanyahu speaks yearly before the United Nations, and last year, 2013, he told the United Nations that Israel would not let Iran get nuclear weapons, and again in 2014. The Arab nations are concerned about that, too. The Arabs believe, you know, there's different sects of Islam, just like there's different denominations in the church. We have Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian, whatever. They have Sunnis and Shiites and Wahhabis or whatever. And the Quran teaches that only one of those groups is the true Muslim faith, and that the true one will win out in the end. Well, Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Egypt, these nations, they are the Sunnis, and they're the vast majority of Muslims. Iran is a Shiite. They're the minority. The Sunnis would win out based on sheer numbers unless Iran gets a nuclear weapon. And then the Shiites with nuclear weapons could defeat the big numbers of Sunnis. And so it's a threat, and it's a matter of who is going to take over the Islamic faith, who is going to run it, and which one is a true faith, and all of this kind of thing. And it means that the Sunnis are going to have to get nuclear weapons, or something's going to have to be done. And President Obama is on the verge of letting Iran have the ability to build nuclear weapons. Israel says she won't let it happen. This could trigger the Battle of Gog and Magog. Russia says it could trigger World War III. It's just a very, very, very dangerous situation.
Yeah, it is, David. I agree with you on that. It's a very, very dangerous situation to have someone like Iran, an Islamic state, who has recently, I just read on the Jerusalem Post, that Iran has these messianic ambitions to usher in a global caliphate, to usher in the Mahdi, who will one day reign from Jerusalem, their Muslim Messiah. And they always call for the elimination of the state of Israel. They say it on a daily basis that they will wipe Israel off the face of the map. And I don't know what President Obama is thinking when he's dealing with these individuals and lifting up sanctions and saying, listen, we're willing to deal with you, we're willing to send money your way, and, you know, we'll let you have a little bit of nuclear technology, but we'll take your word for it, and you're not going to get a nuclear bomb. I mean, should we take Iran at their word, Damon?
Well, their religion allows them to lie if they feel that it advances the cause of their religion. So they can lie. I mean, even President Obama, who many think is a Muslim or has Muslim sympathies, look at some of the things that he tells us. You can keep your doctor if you want to and all of this kind of thing. We have shovel-ready jobs and so on. No, we cannot trust Iran, and they will try to destroy Israel. They are a threat to Israel. Now, as far as I'm concerned, they're not going to be able to destroy Israel. God's going to intervene in that battle of Gog and Magog that we're talking about, and that Iranian-Russian Islamic army is going to be destroyed. But we should not trust. You know, there's been a phrase, trust but verify. Well, we better verify and better have a way to keep them from getting nuclear weapons. And I'm not sure that President Obama is doing that. He said one time, and I'm not quoting it exactly, but if it came down to a showdown between Israel and the Muslims, he would side with the Muslims. And I think that's what he's doing here.
And, you know, that's exactly what Mike Huckabee just recently said in an interview. And it looks like Huckabee's going to be running for the 2016 presidency. Mike Huckabee said that President Obama is no friend to Israel, but he is always siding with the Arab world. And Damon, this is exactly what we see happening right now. He seems to be very, very derelict in dealing with Iran and with the Arab nations, for that matter, always apologizing to the Arab nations because of the attitudes of the past presidents. I mean, where is Ronald Reagan when you meet him in this time? And Obama is simply not a friend to Israel.
No, he's not a friend. And just think what's coming up, August. President Obama met in the White House with a bunch of Muslims just a few days ago. He had time, two-hour meeting, to meet with these Muslims. He did not want their names released. He did not want what was discussed released, but it leaked out a few days later, and he let the names go. And, you know, the public knows who they are now. And there were known terrorists in the group, or people that had worked with terrorists in the group. Now he's got time to meet with terrorists in the White House, but Prime Minister Netanyahu is coming to this country, and he's supposed to be our best ally, and President Obama doesn't have time to meet with Mr. Netanyahu. He's doing everything, it seems like, to destroy the relationship with Israel and to build a relationship with ISIS and Iran and the terrorists of the world.
Yeah, and I wanted to hold that, too, Dan, because I'm going to get to that in just a few moments about the Prime Minister of Israel coming to the United States to speak to Congress next month. But, you know, when we talk about, you know, Iran and the Arab world, and we're thinking about prophecy here. We're thinking about Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, where it talks about Gog, who I believe would be the personality, Magog, who comes out of the location, will lead an Arab coalition of nations to come up against the state of Israel. But when we zero in on Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse number 5, it talks about Persia. And we know that in 1936, that Persia changed their name to Iran. And so we know that Iran will be one of these Islamic nations who will come up against the state of Israel in the end times. And we know that Magog was that general area. Magog himself went and settled north of the Caspian and Black Seas, and that's exactly where Russia is today. And so we know that Russia will lead an Arab coalition of nations to come up against the Jewish state of Israel. And, of course, we also see in Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 45, another Islamic attack on the state of Israel, as well as Psalm 83, another attack on the state of Israel. And, Daniel, would you agree with me that when, you know, just quoting Psalm 83, Ezekiel 38, 39, and Daniel 11, 40 through 45, do we see right now forming an alignment of nations that will one day come and attack the state of Israel?
Yes, we do, Russ. There's no doubt about it. Now, there's maybe a couple of things that I'm not sure about there on that, but I believe the Psalm 83 war is what's called that inner circle of nations that mm-hmm. is not mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is about 10 or 11 nations in there, depending on where the borders are and all of this, that will attack Israel in the latter days and latter years. And they come from a long way off. You said the land of Magog and Iran and Turkey and Libya and Ethiopia, they don't share a border with Israel. So
right.
Those nations come from a long way off. There's also an inner circle of nations that apparently are mentioned in Psalm 83, that will attack, and I think they will attack first, and that's why they're not mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39. But there's something else developing, and this is what I said I'm not sure about, and I think we need to watch this real close. And this is ISIS. ISIS came on the scene about a year ago, and it wasn't long until they had taken large portions of Iraq and Syria. And they declared themselves a Muslim or Islamic caliphate, which means an Islamic kingdom. And then when President Obama, he addressed the nation about this, and he called ISIS ISIL, and that L in ISIL means Levant. And if you look
yeah.
at what was in the Levant, it's the same nations that are mentioned in Psalm 83. So ISIS or the Levant or Israel is the same group of nations that attack in Psalm 83. So I'm not sure how all this is going to play out, whether Psalm 83 is just the individual nations on Israel's border or if it could turn out to be ISIS bringing those nations together or something like that. But yes, sir, it most definitely is shaping up. As far as Iran is concerned, going back to that, Israel's Defense Department, I believe it was, said a few months ago that Iran would have a nuclear weapon in about 9 to 18 months. Now we're down to about, I don't know, 6 to 15 months. We're coming down to the crunch, and either the United States and the Western nations, the P5 plus 1, are going to have to stop Iran's development of nuclear weapons, or Israel's going to have to do something about it before Iran can get one and attack Israel. It's all shaping up. It's very dangerous. People ought to be paying attention. Our president, he doesn't seem like he cares very much about what's going on and is maybe even assisting ISIS. That's a very strong statement. And assisting Iran against Israel. People need to be ready. People need to be saved. People need to accept Jesus Christ, because they don't know how much time they have.
Well, I'm so glad you said that, though, David, because I rarely hear any prophecy preachers ever emphasize the gospel or people getting saved in these last days. And so I really appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah, the time is of the essence. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, today is a day of salvation, because tomorrow could be too late. And so, David, you seem to have answered a little bit of my next question. But before we do that, we do have someone here on the line, Damon. I tried to get to them, but they weren't answering. If you have a question for Damon Duck, the phone number is 877-659-8944. And so I'm going to get to this caller right here with the area code 513 number. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there with the area code 513? Are you there? Okay, for some reason, Damon, they're not coming through. I don't know what's going on. But if you would like to try to call back in, caller with the area code 513, you can try to call back in if you have a question for Damon Duck. So one more time, caller, are you there? Okay, the caller is not there. So if you want to try to call in later on, you can do that. Damon, you mentioned ISIS, a very, very brutal, what some people are calling a death cult. These guys are vicious. They're evil. I believe they are satanically possessed. And, you know, President, again, getting back to President Obama, you know, he said people like ISIS or ISIL or, and many other terrorist groups have hijacked Islam. I don't think they have hijacked Islam. I believe they're following Islam to the T. They're following what the Quran says, and they're following what the Hadith, the sayings of Muhammad, say. Now, Islamic State, or better known as ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or as you said, Damon, ISIL, the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. It's very interesting. You brought something out that I didn't even know. ISIS or ISIL just beheaded 21 Coptic Christians from Egypt. And this resulted in the Egyptian military sending fighter jets to bomb ISIS targets in Libya. We also know that they recently burned alive a Jordanian fighter pilot, which resulted in Jordan responding by military action and bombing ISIS targets. Now, you seem to have already answered this question, but I want you to see maybe if you can develop it a little bit more for our listeners. Do we see any area in Scripture that would talk about ISIS in prophecy? And you talked about the Levant, that sometimes they're called the Levant, ISIL, ISIL, the Levant. And it seems to be that area talked about in Psalm 83. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, yes. The nations in Psalm 83 are identified, and we know them as nations that share a border with Israel, Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Jordan and Syria and Lebanon, and all of those nations mentioned there in Psalm 83 are also the nations that ISIS is claiming for their Islamic State. ISIS wants to attack Israel. They want to take Jordan and move up to Israel's border. They've been attacking in Egypt and the Sinai to get on the southern border. They also have terrorists already in Gaza. ISIS terrorists have been arrested by Israel on the West Bank. ISIS has troops up in Syria, fighting Syria, fighting. They've had some fights with Hezbollah. They're all those two groups, ISIS and Psalm 83. There's a lot of overlapping stuff there, and that's why I said I'm not really 100% clear how all of this is going to go down. But those could be the same war. I'm just not sure at this point.
If you had to put these attacks in order, Damon, I'm talking about Ezekiel 38, 39, Psalm 83, Daniel 11, 40 through 45. If you had to put these attacks in order, and I think you already made a little reference to this, how would you put these attacks in order? I mean, I know we can't be dogmatic, but how would you put it in order if you were pushing to that corner?
Well, I usually separate out Syria and talk about it separately. Of course, Syria is mentioned in Psalm 83 war. But we also have a prophecy about Syria in Isaiah 17 where Israel and Syria will get into a war at the time of the end, and Damascus, Syria will be destroyed in one night, and northern Israel will be greatly damaged. And then you've got Ezekiel 38 and 39. I personally think that you have the inner nations, Psalm 83, or Israel getting into a war. Syria would join them and get in, make the war bigger. And then Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia, Iran, and others would be drawn into that war. So that's, you know, the Bible doesn't say that, but it stands to reason because for some reason that inner circle of nations is not mentioned when the Battle of Gog and Magog takes place. And the traditional view is that that inner circle of nations is destroyed before the Battle of Gog and Magog. So that's just my opinion, but that is my opinion.
Well, it seems to, you know, make a little bit of sense there. And so, I mean, a lot of people would ask that question as to how these wars would be set in order. Would the Russians attack first? You know, would the Psalm 83 nations attack first? Would Daniel 11, 40, 45, you know, attack first? So it does seem to make sense when you put it, in that order. Now, getting back to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, we see, Damon, that there is a lot of friction going on right now between the White House and Israel. Now, they do not want Benjamin Netanyahu coming to the United States in March to speak to Congress about Iran. And we know that John Boehner invited Netanyahu to come since, you know, Obama doesn't want to do anything about Iran except deal with these guys, you know, and throw them everything on a silver platter. Obama, Biden, as well as a bunch of Democrats have said that they will not attend Netanyahu's speech. And they're even saying that Netanyahu is spitting in the face of Obama. And even in Israel, you know, now that there's going to be an election next month in Israel, there are those liberal Israeli politicians who are saying that Netanyahu is going to doom the country. We will no longer get the support of the United States and the United Nations. And so, I mean, there's a lot of friction here right now. But yet, President Obama is going to be meeting with the prime minister of an Arab country, Qatar. He's willing to meet with all these other guys, all these other Muslims that are coming to the White House. He even invited the Pope to come to the White House this year. But yet, they're not willing to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, Damon, what in the world is wrong with this picture?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of lying and deceit in the White House. There's a lot of Muslims in the White House. There's a lot of Muslims in the White House that's giving advice to President Obama. And he has sympathy for these people. And he has spit in the face of Prime Minister Netanyahu. He has left Mr. Netanyahu in the White House to eat by himself. He's had Mr. Netanyahu leave by the back door of the White House. People in his administration have called Mr. Netanyahu chicken manure. I'll just phrase it as decently as I can. And things like that. And he wants us to believe that he has worked out a good agreement with Iran, and he doesn't want Mr. Netanyahu coming to the United States and saying that it is a bad agreement. Mr. Netanyahu is going to come to the United States and warn us that Iran not only has threatened to destroy Israel, who they call the little Satan, Iran has also threatened to destroy the United States, who they call the big Satan. And they need nuclear weapons to do that. And President Obama is about to let them get nuclear weapons. And Prime Minister Netanyahu is about to tell the United States that this is dangerous. His duty is to protect the nation of Israel. And that's what he's doing. And Mr. Obama doesn't want him to say that before he signs that agreement.
Well, it seems like many Americans, Damon, are behind the Prime Minister of Israel coming here and talking about the dangers of Iran. I mean, you have Iran calling, you just said it, calling America the big Satan, calling Israel, the little Satan, calling for Israel to be wiped off the face of the map. Do you believe for even a second that Iran's President Hassan Rouhani is a moderate? He's no more a moderate than Iran's last president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and that's exactly what he was. He's no more a moderate than Ahmadinejad. He's always calling for Israel's very destruction. And so Netanyahu said, if I'm invited anywhere to speak on the dangers of Iran, I am going to go whether people like it or not, because I am going to protect my people, Israel. And it doesn't seem like President Obama has Israel's best interest in mind. You know, it's like Obama is a sugar daddy to these Arab nations. They know they can trust him. They know they have a friend in Obama. Israel does not have a friend in Obama. And, you know, those who are on the liberal side of the politics in Israel better wake up and understand that. But we got a few more minutes in the show, Damon. The White House recently said, now let's shift gears for a moment and go to the Palestinian Authority. The White House said that it was concerned that the Palestinian Authority will disappear soon due to lack of finances. Obama said the Republican Congress refuses to finance the Palestinian Authority. Now, why should we fund the PA when they violated the accords they signed with Israel up and down? They failed to rein in Palestinian Authority terrorists, and the PA won't even recognize Israel's right to exist. Obama wants to deal with these people like they are the victims and Israel is the villain. Should we even support the Palestinian Authority?
No, we should not. That land was given to Israel by God. And if you go back to, it's a Song of Moses, and I believe it's about Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. It was at the Tower of Babel that God scattered the nations. And he told one group of nations to go into Africa, another into Asia, another into Europe, and so on. And he gave away the whole world to Gentiles. There's only one little part of this earth that he did not give to anybody, and that's the Promised Land. And he kept it for himself, and he set it aside for Israel and his purposes. And nobody has the right to change that. God is not going to allow that to be changed. He even set the borders of Israel, and Gaza and the PA are occupying territory that God himself set aside for Israel. And the judgment of God is going to fall on those who are trying to take that land and make God a liar and make the Bible wrong and that kind of thing. We're on the devil's side by trying to divide Israel and give away Gaza and the West Bank and all of that, and we're helping finance some of that. President Obama has another motive for coming against Mr. Netanyahu. He wants to replace him with somebody that will sign a peace treaty in the Middle East. Mr. Netanyahu won't do that. He would be committing suicide for Israel if he signed one on the terms of the Palestinian Authority, and he won't do that. Obama wants somebody else that will come in and do that. We know that ultimately there will be a peace treaty, and it will begin the tribulation period. But we should be supporting Israel. We have a choice. God says, I'll bless them and bless you and curse them and curse you. So we can choose to have God bless our country or choose to have God curse our country. And we are choosing to have God curse our country. And I think we're seeing it every day with people out of work and losing money and going broke and immorality and all of that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Daniel. I mean, you just hit it right on the nose. I mean, a good friend of mine, and you know him well, Dr. Dave Reagan of Lamb and Lion Ministries, knows. He has a bumper sticker that says, America bless God, because he always sees these bumper stickers, God bless America. He says, well, it's time that America blesses God. We don't see that happening right now. America is at war with God. America is shaking its fist in God's face. We've embraced, you know, sodomy. We've embraced same-sex marriages, we're murdering millions of babies every single year, and now we're getting to that point, Damon, where we are in serious friction with the state of Israel. As a matter of fact, I read a report that President Obama sent a delegation to Israel to try to muddy up the waters of the upcoming Israeli elections to make sure that Netanyahu is not reelected as the prime minister of Israel. As a matter of fact, even the European Union, we're going to get to that in a few seconds with a few moments that we have, even the European Union, they believe that Netanyahu will be reelected, and now even the EU is looking for sanctions to put on Israel if Netanyahu is reelected. So I find that to be pretty interesting. With a few moments, David, that we have left, let's shift gears now to the European Union. Recently, Greece got a bailout from the EU, a four-month loan. And we know that not all the European Union states, and we know there are 28 altogether, Croatia became EU state number 28. Not all of these states are using the euros or the euro. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that the euro is in trouble. The eurozone is in trouble. She proposed EU should be divided into 10 regions. Now, I read this in your book, Damon. The EU should be divided into 10 regions to save the eurozone. Do you believe that that has prophetic significance?
August, that wasn't in my book. I'm not sure what you was reading. I happen to believe that the whole world will be divided into 10 regions or 10 groups of nations. On that statue, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the head of gold was Babylon, and the chest and arms of silver was the Medes and the Persians, and the belly and thighs of brass was Alexander the Great and the Greeks, and the legs of iron was the Roman Empire. And then the legs of the Roman Empire breaks into pieces, and then you come back with feet, and it's iron plus clay. So I think it's the European Union plus others. And to me, the European Union is one toe, and then you got nine toes or nine groups of nations, and they're forming. The European Union was supposed to be the first one. Then you got the Eurasian Economic Union that Russia is in. You've got the African Union forming. You've got the North American Union forming. You've got 10 groups of nations forming. So that's my belief on that. I don't mean to go contrary to what you're saying, but I actually want to state the way I believe it.
Okay, so did you make, I apologize, but did you make some reference to these regions or this dividing in your book, or did I may have misread or misunderstood?
Well, it's my understanding that the European Union will sign all, you know, all these nations will come together to form the European Union, and that will be the pattern for the other groups of nations in the world. And the European Union will have one leader who will be one of the kings, and then you'll have nine other groups of nations, and they'll each have a leader, and that'll give you 10 kings, and then the Antichrist will rise to power. That's what I was saying in my book.
Oh, okay, that's what I understood, and I apologize. Yeah, because I thought I read something to that effect in your book, God Has Spoken, so I apologize up front for that. But what Angela Merkel said about dividing the EU into these 10 regions, that seems to fit into the prophetic scenario in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7 and in the book of Revelation?
Yes. Yes, it does. It does. And what I think is happening over there, August, you know, the European Union, they've threatened to not buy products from Israel, and they're coming up with new rules on products grown on the West Bank and things like that. Everything has to be labeled and so on. They're trying to hurt Israel economically. Now, what you do to Israel comes back on you. And so now the European Union is in economic trouble. They're trying to hurt Israel's economy, and it's their economy suffering. And Israel's discovering all of this oil and stuff like that, and they're doing pretty good compared to the European Union.
I like that. That's a good analogy right there. And that fits right into Genesis 12:3. I'll bless those who bless thee, and I will curse those who curse thee. Dave, we've got a few minutes left. For someone who right now is listening to you and I talking, we're talking about prophecy, the soon return of Jesus Christ at the rapture, and they're listening. And they're saying, well, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I was to die right now, I'd be in heaven. if Jesus was to come back right now, I mean, I don't even know if I'd meet him in the air. How could I know for sure that I can be ready? What would you say, David, to someone like that listening to the program right now?
Well, there's only one way to be saved, and it's not what we want to do. It's what God will accept, and that's what it is. And God has said that he will only accept one thing, and that is faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And everybody has to be saved the same way. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to this earth. And Jesus lived a perfect life. And he suffered and died for the sins of the world. He died on a cross. And he was buried. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And he ascended into heaven. And he's coming back. And that's what we're talking about. And it looks like he's coming back real soon. And so I would say to everybody out there, you need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to believe everything the Bible says about Jesus Christ, that he suffered and died for the sins of the world, that he's the only way to be saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to confess it before people. And baptism doesn't save you, but I encourage you to be baptized and join a conservative church that believes in Bible prophecy and believes Israel is significant. And you can be assured that you're saved. God gives you assurance of your salvation. You don't have to be a jihadist suicide bomber or die in a war to be saved. Just by putting all of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you need to stop putting it off. Lukewarm won't work. You need to get it done, and you need to get it done right away.
Woo! That's powerful stuff right there, Dave. And you heard what he said, folks. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Damon, with just a minute that we have left of the show, tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you, get to know your ministry more.
Well, my email address is damon.duck@yahoo.com. I go to churches and teach Bible prophecy and speak on current events, the kind of things that we're talking about right now. And I speak at prophecy conferences, and that's the best way. Get on there and send me an email. I try to answer all the emails. Sometimes I don't answer one. It's kind of controversial or something, but most of the time I answer them.
And, folks, his website is www.damonduck.com. So go to the website, get to know him, order his book. God has spoken, and we can know it. Damon, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We're looking forward to having you back real soon.
All right. Good to talk to you, August. And tell Patty that Rachel and I said hello. We love you, and we'll see you before long.
We'll see you, too, and you tell your lovely wife we said hello as well. God bless you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Folks, that was Damon Duck. And yes, folks, we will not be on the air next Saturday and the following Saturday. My wife and I will be leaving for Israel for our Bible prophecy tour of the Holy Land. We'll also be going over into Petra, where I will be teaching Bible prophecy in two countries, in the Jewish state of Israel and in the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan. And we still do have seats available. If you'd like to join us on this tour, it's not too late. Even though we're 4 days away, call our tour operator, Christian Tours to Israel. Toll free 888-300-3038, 1-888-300-3038. Ask for Eyal Evan. Let him know you want to come to Israel with us. Well, folks, don't forget, until a couple of weeks when we get back from Israel, this is August 2000. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming.